This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Bitten by a werewolf and lives, becomes a werewolf himself.
Oh, don't hand me that. You're just wasting your time.
The wolf bit you, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You wouldn't want to run away with a murderer, would you?
Oh, Larry, you're not. You know you're not.
I killed Bela. I killed Richardson. If I stay here any longer, you can't tell who'll be next.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the next installment, newest installment, of Pop Goes the Classics here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. My name is Scott Criscolo. Welcome to the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. If you're new, thanks for coming. It is an honor to have you, and there is plenty of great stuff here on the Pop Feed. Comics and movies, music, TV, all sorts of great stuff. What you're listening to now, but obviously you know what it is since you clicked on it, is Pop Goes the Classics, which is an offshoot of our other show similar to this called Pop Goes the Movies. The difference is, of course, Pop Goes the Movies is reviews of current films in the theater and all of the wonderful talent we have here on the Pop Feed. Sits back and enjoys reviewing movies in the theater now. So we did an offshoot because we should respect the classics as well, and thus Pop Goes the Classics. Now, so far, at least chronologically, we are in the month of October in 2019, so we are doing horror films. But as you stay with us here on the Pop Feed throughout the future, we'll have Pop Goes the Classics from all sorts of stuff. War movies, westerns, sci-fi, rom-coms, political dramas, whatever. I don't know about biographies. I guess that depends on your point of view, or if anybody wants to do one. But in any event, I am here to continue my six-part, I guess, series on the Universal MonsterVerse, which is, of course, the 25-year run of great horror movies that Universal Pictures made between 1931 and 1956. I have already done four of the big six: Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, and The Invisible Man. And tonight, I'm going to do the fifth one, chronologically. So let's go to December 12th, 1941, directed by George Wagner, starring Lon Chaney Jr., Ralph Bellamy, who some people may remember from Trading Places, Claude Rains, the Invisible Man, in another role here. Bela Lugosi's in this movie, too. And the movie is The Wolfman. Another great character that crossed over numerous times. However, this is the only movie that he's in proper by himself. Now, the difference here is, unlike Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Mummy and the Invisible Man, which all were the first movies that Universal did that involved those types of characters, this is actually the second movie Universal did involving a werewolf. If you backtrack 6 years to 1935, a movie came out called Werewolf of London. No, not the Warren Zevon song, and no, they didn't go get beef chow mein at WeHo Fooks. It was a movie about an archaeologist who gets bit by a man who became a werewolf. And in the end, he became a wolfman. But the term wolfman was never used in the movie. And if you remember, if you've ever seen the movie, the makeup was not nearly what Lon Chaney would end up wearing here 6 years later. It was more like a guy with glued hair on his face, whereas Lon Chaney literally looked like he had a mask on, but that was all makeup. And the Wolfman pretty much came from... I wouldn't say it came from... It was probably the first one that didn't come from some type of literature. Of course, Dracula came from Bram Stoker. Frankenstein came from Mary Shelley. The Mummy came from, myths and mysteries of Egypt. And The Invisible Man came from stories written by H.G. Wells. But the Wolfman really didn't come from anything. It was just more of werewolves and literature about it, but not really specifically a book or a novel or a short story. It was just the next monster that Universal wanted to experiment on. And they did it again in 1935 with Werewolf of London, but they were dipping their toe in the kiddie end of the pool when it came to the werewolves with that movie. Here, with the Wolfman, they went full bore, and they picked the perfect guy. In the grand scheme of things, and I'm going to glow about this because he's been in a ton of other stuff in the Universal Monsterverse and in plenty of other movies as well. Lon Chaney Jr. is arguably, maybe next to obviously the other big two, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, as the faces of this, of Universal horror for these 25 years, from 1931 to 1956. Bela Lugosi, unlike the others... Well, Boris Karloff to a certain extent, but he was only two other things. He was only two characters. But Bela Lugosi has been everything. He was Dracula, which he only played twice, actually. He was Igor in multiple Frankenstein films, and he was in this movie as the son of a gypsy who happened to be a werewolf. And that's the werewolf that bit the character Larry Talbot, played by Lon Chaney. Let me give you a little backstory here. At some time in the early 20th century... After learning of the death of his brother, Larry Talbot returns to his ancestral home in... I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Let me click on it. It's Wales. Yanwely. Wales, to reconcile with his estranged father, Sir John Talbot, played by Claude Rains. So a couple of heavyweights there. While there, Larry becomes romantically involved in a local girl named Gwen Conliffe, who runs an antique shop. As a pretext to converse with her, he purchases a silver-headed walking stick decorated with a wolf. Gwen tells him that it represents a werewolf, which she defines as a man who changes into a wolf at certain times of the year. Throughout the film, various villagers recite a poem. Whenever the subject of werewolves comes up, the poem goes, "Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright." Now, in Werewolf of London, the movie I was just talking about, they were trying to pick wolfbane, which is... a rare flower that only grows at night. Larry attempts to rescue Gwen's friend Jenny from what he believes to be a sudden wolf attack. He kills the beast with his walking stick, but is bitten in the chest. A gypsy fortune teller named Maleva reveals to Larry that the animal which bit him was actually her son Bella, played by Bela Lugosi. It's kind of like Tony Danza. Got to have Bella as the character name, so what, because he answers him? I don't know. She also reveals that Larry will transform into a wolf as well, since he who is bitten by a werewolf will and lives will turn into one himself. So, of course, as the movie continues, Larry Talbot becomes a wolfman. He kills a couple of people, and in the end, he's bludgeoned to death by his father with that silver walking stick. But, of course, Larry Talbot comes back in future Universal films. This is a tremendous movie. Lon Chaney's makeup is absolutely tremendous. Very well done. In the original film, before we get to the production, in the original film, in this film, Chaney's transformation from man to wolf was not on screen. Like it slowly changes and it almost looks like it's layered. Didn't do that in this movie. The sequels he did. The lap-dissolved progressive makeups were seen only in the final 10 minutes and then discreetly. In the first transformation, Talbot removes his shoes and socks, and it is his feet which are seen to grow hairy and become huge paws. And then all of a sudden you look up and he's a wolfman. Stories about the makeup and transformation scenes have become legendary, almost apocryphal, like almost like myth. The transformation of Chaney from man to monster was certainly laborious. The series of makeups took 5 to 6 hours and an hour to take off. Jack Pierce had originally designed it for Henry Hull in Werewolf of London, which is what the movie I had just explained. However, Hull argued that the disguise made no sense within the plot, since two characters had to recognize Dr. Glendon, which was his character in the film, and even in his werewolf form. So his original design for Hull in Werewolf of London was supposed to be how Lon Chaney looked in The Wolfman, but the way that the story in Werewolf of London went, he had to be recognized. Now, obviously, if you look at Lon Chaney's Wolfman, for those that are fans and have seen it, you don't have no idea that it's Lon Chaney or the Larry Talbot character. So they amped back the makeup for Henry Hull, for his character, Dr. Glendon, 6 years earlier in Werewolf of London. But here, Lon Chaney is made up exactly as Jack Pierce wanted the original werewolf to look like in Werewolf of London in 1935. Chaney claimed that he was forced to sit motionless for hours as the scenes were shot frame by frame. At times, he claimed he was left to remain sitting while the crew broke for lunch. He also couldn't use the can. Could you imagine? But apparently, he was incredibly patient. There was also, you know, myths that he had to remain motionless during close-ups. There may be some exaggeration involved. Studio logs indicate by during the filming of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, which would be 7 years later, which he's in, the entire crew, including Chaney, took a 2-hour break during the filming of a transformation and filmed the rest of the scene later that day. So what really happened was a plaster mold was made to hold his head absolutely still as his image was photographed and his outline drawn on panes of glass in front of the camera. So that's what happened. The poem that I read, let me read it again. Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. That night, that poem, contrary to popular belief, was not an ancient legend, but it was in fact an invention of the screenwriter Kurt Siodmak. The poem is repeated in every subsequent film in which Talbot and the Wolfman appears, with the exception of House of Dracula and Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. But it's also quoted in the film Van Helsing in 2004, although many later films changed the last line of the poem to "and the moon is full and bright," not "and the autumn moon is bright." In episode 944 of the show Dark Shadows, tremendous show by the way, Christopher Pennock, as Jeb Hawks, recites this version of the poem. The original Wolfman film does not make use of the idea that a werewolf is transformed under a full moon. Gwen's description and the poem imply that it happens when the wolfbane blooms in autumn. The first sequel, though, made explicit use of the full moon both visually and in the dialogue, and also changed the poem to specify when the moon is full and bright. The first sequel, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, had Talbot's grave open on a full moon night, causing him to rise again. Technically, he's undead. Presumably, what popularized the full moon connection in the 20th century was this poem. The sequel visually implies that the transformation occurs as a result of direct exposure to light from the full moon. Other fiction has assumed the transformation is an inescapable monthly occurrence and does not examine whether it is caused by light, tidal effects, or some cycle that happens to coincide with the moon's phases. Now, again, there is plenty of sequels that involve the Wolfman. There's also multiple Wolfman movies that he's not in. There's She-Wolf of London, and then any others that he's in, including Frankenstein with the Wolfman and, of course, House of Dracula and Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. And, of course, it's out on a ton of films, a ton of DVD sets and, of course, Blu-ray sets as well. The Wolfman is the only Universal monster to be played by the same actor in all of his film appearances. Lon Chaney was the only Wolfman in that specific role as Larry Talbot. Lon Chaney's very proud of this, frequently stating in interviews, "He was my baby." Don't forget, he actually played a vampire. Bela Lugosi only played Dracula twice, and Boris Karloff played Frankenstein 3 times. But there were more Frankensteins, too, including Lon Chaney. It is listed in the film reference book, 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die, which stated that the film still remains the most recognizable and most cherished version of the werewolf myth. The Wolfman was not Universal's first werewolf film. As I mentioned, Werewolf of London came first. As noted before, as I mentioned a little while ago, Hull objected to having his face entirely covered in latex and hair, and a less hirsute, more devilish version was used in the film. The film was not a huge box office success, probably because audiences of the day thought it too similar to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Remember, Frederick March won an Oscar for that. Some latter-day critics prefer Henry Hull's earlier werewolf to Chaney's, which was described in Carlos Clarin's book, An Illustrated History of the Horror as Film. The Wolfman is one of three top-tier Universal Studios monsters without a direct literary source, as I mentioned. The Mummy didn't, but that came from kind of history. And, of course, Creature in the Black Lagoon didn't. But as I mentioned, The Invisible Man came from H.G. Wells, Dracula from Bram Stoker, and, of course, Frankenstein from Mary Shelley. Again, The Wolfman proved very popular. He never enjoyed the chance to have his own sequel, though. Poor Lon Chaney. Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman had Talbot's grave opened. In House of Frankenstein, Talbot's once again resurrected and promised to cure via a brain transplant, but is shot dead with a silver bullet. He returns with no explanation in House of Dracula and is finally cured of his condition. But he was afflicted once again in the comedy film Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. This time the Wolfman is a hero of sorts, saving Wilbur Gray from having his brain transplanted by Dracula into the head of the monster, which at the time was Glenn Strange. It was not Boris Karloff. Grabbing the vampire as he turns into a bat, the Wolfman dives over a balcony into the sea, taking Dracula with him. Now, I mentioned this multiple times in the other Pop Goes the Classics with the other Universal Monster movies, that they tried to do remakes. And they did do a remake of The Wolfman in 2010. Not Wolf with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer. No. That's stupid. That's not a bad movie, but that wasn't the premise. The Wolfman, which came out in 2010, was Benicio del Toro, Anthony Hopkins, and it was similar to this film, the Lon Chaney film. But they didn't really roll with it. They weren't going to do a sequel because it didn't do that great at the box office. In 2012, Universal did a film called Werewolf, The Beast Among Us. It was supposed to be a spinoff, but ended up being its own unrelated film. Now, I've already mentioned this a zillion times, but I will do it again. Universal announced that it would reboot the monster's properties as part of the, quote, Dark Universe. In November of 2014, Universal hired Aaron Guzikowski to write the shared universe's reboot of The Wolfman. In June of that year, of 2016, Deadline reported that Dwayne Johnson, yes, The Rock, would play Larry Talbot. I don't think Larry Talbot was that jacked. In October of that year, it was reported that David Callahan was brought on to rewrite the script, but on November 8th of 2017, they dumped the project like they did all the other Dark Universe projects and left things in doubt. That brings an interesting question that's kind of it's related to this, but I've alluded to it in the other Pop Goes the Classics. The question is, why hasn't the Universal Monsterverse worked? Why couldn't they do what Universal in the 1930s did very easily and fluidly? The Lemley family did an extraordinary job. Move ahead, 70 years, and you have better technology. I don't say better actors, but more actors and better effects and CGI and everything. And movies bomb. Why? Is it the culture? Do we like more fancy monsters? Were we spoiled our generation with the Michael Myers and the Jason Voorhees and the Freddy Kruegers? Do we not get scared by old school monsters like Frankenstein's monster or Dracula or, the Mummy or the Wolfman? Are they not scary enough for us? It's interesting because all these movies don't have lousy actors in it. I mean, Benicio del Toro is not a bad actor. Anthony Hopkins certainly is not a bad actor. So why do these movies bomb? Well, we know why The Mummy bombed a few years ago. It's because Tom Cruise was in it and he's a dick. So the movie had to be about him, not about the mummy, which is what the point of a monster movie is. It's about the monster, not the actor. Nobody cares who he is. So I don't know if the Universal Monsterverse, which, of course, as I've mentioned in the past episodes of this series, was the first original, quote, verse. Well before the days of Star Wars or James Bond or obviously Marvel or DC. Universal had the Universal Classic Monsterverse. And we're in the throes of it right now here on Pop Goes the Classics. So if you get a chance, see The Wolfman with Lon Chaney. It's an exceptional film. And Lon Chaney, I think, again, I've said many times that the big three of the Monsterverse was Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, and Lon Chaney. Lon Chaney deserves a ton of credit because he's the only guy that's ever been all of them. He's been a vampire, he's been Frankenstein's monster, and he was the Wolfman. No one else can say that. Now, Bela Lugosi's been in other movies as other characters. Again, he was Dracula. He was Igor in two Frankenstein movies, and he was Bela here in The Wolfman. Boris Karloff played Frankenstein three times, and he played the mummy once. But at this stage of the game in 1941, his days of being Frankenstein were over. As a matter of fact, again, we point to 1956 as the year that the Universal Monsterverse ended for two reasons. Number one, three reasons, I guess. Number one, Bela Lugosi died. He passed away. He had a dependency issue with codeine, which was kind of the precursor to heroin. Number two, Boris Karloff decided by then that he wasn't putting makeup on anymore. He was in his, I guess, his late 50s. You know, and he was an established, very, very classy British actor who just happened to be an awesome monster. But he would still do horror movies and suspense movies throughout the 30s into the 50s into the 60s. He passed away in 1969. Of course, as a lot of us younger generations, he was the voice of the narrator in The Grinch, the original Grinch, not the Jim Carrey Grinch. And horror by the late 50s kind of fizzled out. The Creature from the Black Lagoon did okay, but for the most part, horror kind of transferred on to other countries while America kind of dived into other genres, war movies, more westerns. By the 60s, the hippie counterculture, and we had more gritty, realistic films going all the way into the early 70s. But I won't get more into the history of horror because there's a great podcast coming up about that. In any event, please enjoy The Wolfman if you find it. Now, you can get... I don't work for Universal, so here I am, you know, shilling Blu-rays like some type of, you know, Don... If you're a wrestling fan, I'm not Don West or anything. But Universal has great sets, legacy sets of the big six. You can get Dracula, Frankenstein, The Wolfman, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, and The Creature from the Black Lagoon separately. Or you can get what I own, which is the Universal Classic Monsters 30-film box set. 30 movies. You can get the DVD version, and you can get the Blu-ray version. It also includes a really nice book and the Phantom of the Opera. The Claude Rains Phantom of the Opera. But I kind of have a soft spot for The Wolfman. Because Lon Chaney was so good in it, and the poor guy never got, like, a sequel. He had to be borrowed into other Monster Mash films, as you would say. So that's it. The Wolfman, 1941. Lon Chaney. He's awesome. Enjoy it. That'll do it for this quick pod blast of Pop Goes the Classics. I am Scott Criscolo. Enjoy all of the great Halloween and horror stuff we have on the Place to Be Nation pop feed and on placetobenation.com. And just stay with us here on the pop feed. We got all sorts of great content, comics, TV, movies, pop culture, sports. We are going to do other Pop Goes the Classics of other genres. We're not just doing horror. We're doing horror now because it's October. But we got a lot of great Star Wars content coming up later in the year, you know, in the next couple of months as we get closer to the release of Episode 9 and the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. And then as we get into 2020, we're going to do all sorts of great Pop Goes the Classics. There's going to be a lot of anniversaries in 2020. A time-traveling DeLorean may be one of them. I'm Scott Criscolo. Don't get bit by a werewolf, and don't look up at the full moon. Enjoy.